reading a study recently that looked at children and their religious practice after they left the home. And it was trying to figure out what kind of parenting, what kind of environment was most likely to lead to their children practicing the faith as adults. And they found some very interesting trends. One, there was kind of two styles of family life whose children generally did not practice the faith later. The first was what they called overly permissive. So the parents, probably really well-intentioned, didn't give a lot of guidance on religion. They wanted their kids to kind of make it their own from a very early age. The problem was it kind of sent an unintentional message that this isn't really important. They had rules about going to school, going to sports practice, going to the dentist, and so on. But if there's no rules about going to church, it unintentionally sent the message, this is just kind of an optional hobby. This doesn't need to be a centerpiece of your life. On the other extreme were parents who were very authoritarian. They forced religion forcefully upon their children. Lots of rules, no discussion about them. This was what you gotta do. This is, and you just gotta do it. And you were in trouble if you crossed the line or asked any questions. And again, usually they didn't practice the faith later. The family structure that was most likely to have children who eventually lived the faith in their own was a family in which there were rules, in which family life involved religion. In fact, religion was talked about quite a bit, not in terms of like lectures about religion, but more about just this is part of everyday life and part of how we make decisions as a family. Families went to church every week because, again, that was an important part of their life. But there also was a lot of affection. There was a lot of understanding. There was also a lot of dialogue. Kids were allowed to ask lots and lots of questions. And those could be discussed, they could be debated, they could be ongoing conversations. And that sort of family structure was most likely to lead to those children one day making the faith their own. Now, the reason I talk about this today is not to analyze our own families. They're all complex. Many of them are a mix of all of those three. We all have freedom, so again, we can't guarantee someone's going to turn out a certain way. That whole idea of asking questions came to mind as I was thinking about today's gospel reading. Do you notice at the very end of it, the disciples were asking questions. They had this mountaintop experience with God. They went into this cloud, a symbol in the Old Testament of God's closeness and presence, for example, on Mount Sinai, but also God's mystery. As they encountered God in the transfiguration, the disciples got closer to God, yet had also more questions about God. And so Peter, James, and John continued to discuss what they had experienced, what they had heard, what this resurrection from the dead meant. And as a small community of faith, they would continue to discuss that. As Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, on Easter Sunday morning, they still were discussing. In fact, the Gospels say they still didn't quite understand what this rising from the dead meant. As Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection, again, they tried to understand it more. As the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost, they got an even broader understanding. But again, it was a process to deeper understanding, but also deeper faith. Through these questions they discussed together, they got closer to God, which is a great lesson for us. If we have questions about God, we have questions about our faith, we shouldn't run away from them because they can be the path to deeper relationship with God, to deeper friendship with the God who wants to be near to us. But again, that process will take time to unfold. And so as we take time during Lent for extra prayer and extra reflection, even after this homily today, I'm told to spend a few more minutes in silent reflection, we're invited to ask those questions, to ponder them. And we might not get an answer right away, and that's okay. Like those apostles, even as we discuss them with each other, perhaps, over time, those questions will draw us closer into the understanding of the God who wants to be near to us. The first reading today, the story of Abraham and Isaac up the mountain, certainly is a story that's raised lots of questions over the years. Who is this God that's testing Abraham? Does this God really want human sacrifice? In fact, this story would be used in the Old Testament, where we'll oftentimes times to prove that the God of Abraham does not want human sacrifice. Other religions of that time had that. The God of Abraham does not want human sacrifice. But in that question is raised by the story, who is God? Who is God in my life here today? And then, of course, this God of Abraham does want us to surrender our entire lives to God's care and guidance. He doesn't want us to keep certain things as separate under our own control alone and then let God control these things over here. God wants to be a part of all of it. And that can be really intimidating for us, to surrender our entire future to God's care and God's providence. It's hard to believe, but I've been vocation director now 7 years. So I left here almost 7 years ago. And as I meet with young men who are thinking about the priesthood, oftentimes this idea of walking into the unknown with questions is very difficult. At some point in our lives, all of us make a choice to step forward in faith, not having everything figured out, knowing enough to take the next step, but not knowing the entirety of our lives, not having the exact details of what our life's going to look like 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. And I find that's the most difficult thing for young adults today. I find it quite difficult in my own life, to be honest, too. To say, you know what, I know enough to take the next step, even though I want to know what it's really going to look like 10 years from now, 20 years, or 30 years. In fact, God invites us like Peter, James, and John to keep walking with him, with our questions that we still have rumbling around in our minds and our hearts, trusting that God's going to unfold a plan before us, trusting that God's going to give us a deeper insight into the truth if we're searching for it. He's going to lead us somewhere that ultimately involves the resurrection, new life, better life, eternal life with God. So as we come to Mass here today and we take a few moments to reflect, we ask the questions, we face the questions, we enter into them, knowing that God's near, and in his mysterious presence, he wants to lead us to the truth about who God is, about who we are, and where our lives need.